Welcome to Some Say I'm Gifted, where we teach you the magic of walking in your spiritual gifts and how it can help you navigate this crazy life, and helping you understand that even though we're in this world, we are not of it. So take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and let's get real.
Hey everyone. On today's episode of Some Say I'm Gifted, you will hear me murder Morgan. Because she's here with me. And this is Tess, actually, for allegedly. Anyways, this is Tess. I'm Tess, me. And this is Some Say I'm Gifted. And I'm here with my two amazing co-hosts, Morgan and Danielle.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danielle.
Hey, guys. I'm Morgan.
And if for some reason her mic goes out or a pillow gets, I don't know. Can you be able to hear her through a pillow? Maybe not.
Guys, they're threatening violence upon me.
No, that's not what's happening here.
So here's a say. Oh, I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Are you a napper or no?
I wish.
What do you mean you can't take a nap?
I can't nap. No.
The hell do you do?
I'm productive. I have like a Let productive me tell you, complex. Production.
You have a what?
I have like some sort of production complex. Like I can't relax. I have to be productive until I'm like dead tired.
Same, but sometimes I need a 15-minute nap to get to the day.
I can't sleep.
Give it time. How old are you?
Yeah. 27.
I was that way probably at 15, but you know, but it's also like the fainting goat thing I have. You know, like she's laughing at me. But any extreme emotion I feel or go through, it zaps me, and I need like a 5-10 minute. It's not just me, my whole family.
Like a power nap thing to kind of just like.
It's kind of like a power. I don't know how to explain it. Like I could get really good news. Mm-hmm. Oh. Like you remember a few Mondays ago, I was like, hey guys, I got the best news about a situation. As soon as I got the news, I sit down on my couch with my house full of kids. I called my husband. I told him. I think I called Morgan because I was like, I don't know what to do. My brain hurts, and I fell asleep.
It's like a relaxed catatonic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it also, if I get really bad news, it's the same thing. Or if I get really upset, I cry. It's like extreme emotions. It's like a reset.
Too overstimulated mm-hmm. that your body kind of just
shuts down
for a second. Yeah. I don't really nap. I lie down and stare at the ceiling for a while, but I don't.
What
I can't really.
In God's name, how do y'all? Okay.
Well, apparently. Overly functioning.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty productive person, but sometimes I gotta stop and take a nap.
It's like if I just lay there, I'm just gonna be thinking of all the things I should be doing.
That's not the kind of nap I'm talking about. Like I'm talking about it's a reset kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Maybe I need help with that. I do have frying pans. Oh. Okay. So. We want to know what you guys, if you're a napper or not a napper, because we just like to know stuff about you all.
Heck yeah.
So comment on in the comment section on whatever avenue you're listening on, platform, I've been told. And then you can always find us on Facebook and leave your comment there. But today's episode is called Chasing a Rabbit Around a Barn. I don't know if that's have y'all heard that saying like Midwest and Northern?
I have,
or is
yes.
it just a Southern thing?
No, I've heard it in my part of the world. Like the Northeastern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
I've not heard the saying, but I used to have a reoccurring dream of chasing a rabbit behind a barn.
And then you met us. Wow. So that's funny. Around or behind a barn?
Behind. Like me and my cousin would start in the front and we would be chasing it behind. I would always trip on the same rock every time.
In your dream?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Wow.
I probably stopped having it only like 5 years ago.
Do you know what the saying means?
No.
To chase a rabbit around a barn is, let's say that we're having a very serious conversation about something and I go, oh, wait. And I start a whole other conversation about a whole other topic. And it's like chasing a rabbit around a barn. You can go and go and go and you're never going to catch it. Mm-hmm. So that's the name of today's topic. Because as we have found out, if they get me talking about something, I will branch off.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. You get such good golden nuggets.
Yes.
Truth nuggies.
Yeah. Just that you get to put in your pocket and take with you.
Yeah, so I'm open for questions, ladies, and that scares me.
Ooh, I think that's actually really cool. We could have you guys send us questions. Exactly. We could do this again.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then we can do rabbits around the barn.
Multiple rabbits.
Yeah.
Chasing.
Loop one.
Oh, yeah. Loop one. Okay. So give it to me, ladies. Lay it on me. Let's go.
Morgan, you want to go?
Okay. Tell me more about your brain.
My brain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of smushy.
Is it smushy?
Yeah.
I think I saw it once.
She would probably try, dude.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm pretty sure I saw it too one time.
Oh God. Okay. So what do you mean? Like how it overactively functions?
Yes, how it overactively functions and your memory.
Oh, so I have a my memory is I said it earlier, like perfectly, and I can't think of it is tragically accurate. Mm-hmm.
Diagnosably accurate.
Yes. Like I've been diagnosed with a too good of a memory and it can be haunting. I mean, there's levels of it that you can get disability because you remember things to affect. So people, especially people that try to manipulate you, like it's not just me. There's other people that have this disorder. It's not even a disorder. I mean, a lot of people think it's a gift. I think it's not.
I wouldn't want it. I love my forgetfulness.
Like, for instance, today we drove by and said, I love that house. And everybody's like, yeah. And I was like, I bought a jacket for Chuck at that house at a yard sale. And everybody looked at me. And I was like, what? Like, I know where this shirt came from.
Yeah.
I know where this shirt came from. Like, I can tell you where I was at when I bought it.
The detail-oriented nature of your memory is insane.
Which is, for people that are narcissistic, like manipulative people, it's very hard for them to combat me. So they really try to break me down like a shotgun. Be like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen that way. No, that was not said. And I'm like, but it was. I think it might be probably like a spectrum thing. I don't know.
Probably.
Because, I like, for instance, I have a stepson who's on the spectrum as well. And he's very... You could ask him how something happened, and he'd be like, he'll lie. He's a teenager, right? So he'll be like, no, I'm like, tell me the truth. And, you know, so. So the memory part of my brain's really weird. And unfortunately, I'm fun to play trivia with or watch Jeopardy with, but it's a lot of useless knowledge. Which it really isn't, because I think in a way it does help me relate to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think... there's been so much that you've told me that is not useless at all. It's very beneficial to my life.
I think it's probably overloading.
I think... I have to press the record button on my phone to make sure I can go back to it.
Yes. That's scary. Goodness.
I remember that I can go back to it and take it in a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know what your favorite memory is from you being a kid. I know that's like a...
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That's a little difficult.
Or like one of your fondest memories you have of growing up.
So when I was from like kindergarten on, so I got diagnosed with leukemia at the age of 5, my first day of kindergarten. Okay. So my school experience was not good and I was held back my first year of kindergarten. So, and I was at the same school and they were like, oh, she failed. I was actually held back because I had got diagnosed with cancer. As an older person, you realize that. As a young person, you don't, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a stigma to that. And I had a bald head or I had a wig or I had short hair. My hair was cut. It was rough. And second grade was really hard and we'd moved to Atlanta and came back by third grade. In third grade, I realized that I'd worked my way through kindergarten, first and second grade. And had not developed a great reading skill. But I was the kid that survived cancer. And as horrible as this sounds, I used that to my advantage till the day I graduated high school. Okay. Not proud of myself, but my senior year, I had 152 excused absences. Okay. Because I'd be like, my cancer's acting up again. I was rotten. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so my third grade teacher was Mr. Hertzog. And I loved him. He was such an amazing teacher. He got me to read. He had turned his classroom into Camelot.
Oh my gosh.
The whole classroom was a castle. And when you walked in, smoke would come out. A dragon would appear.
Oh no way.
He would have these like Renaissance music. He made me like reading magical. Then around like science year, you know, like, you know, when you talk about science, he turned his whole classroom into the magic school bus. Oh, wow. And he had like, but it was like the magic school bus went through space. So you would get in, you would come in and he had all these chairs lined up like a bus and you would get, and it, but the whole like reading math, everything that whole like month or whatever you study science, the whole classroom looked like that. And it was all black lights. You know what I mean? Wow. He was an amazing artist. And he really showed the importance of being different and allowing that. So everybody loved Mr. Herzog. And I think all the moms had a little crush on him because he was very Robin Williams-esque, mm-hmm. but very attractive. Okay. I mean, I didn't think so, but this is what my mom said. You know, he was like a real, he would sit on the floor with us and he would tell her, like, I remember there's, and this is a horrible story, but there was this one little girl and she did not have a lot of money and it was about, and I think about this, I was in third grade. I think about this right before every Valentine's Day because it makes me want to cry. So we had a Valentine's Day and everybody had to make their own Valentine's Day box. And the school I went to was a really good school, but it was a wealthy school. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And everybody had to make their own Valentine's Day box. And my mom was a really good artist. Like she could draw and doodle and like do cartoons. And so mom was really cool looking. And I remember I came in and I was so excited. And I had like candy Valentine's, you know what I mean? Like the ones with, and I was like so excited. And I'd seen that little girl go up to Mr. Hurt. So I got it, you know, all kids go up to their teachers. And I'm like, look at my box, blah, blah, blah. And we come back. I had come back from lunch because I forgot my lunchbox. And when I came in and he was sitting there making her a box and making her individual Valentine's. Because she didn't have any. Aww. And I think about that. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm making Valentine's. I said, why? He said, she didn't have any. I said, that's stupid. And he went, no, it's not, Tess. And I went, like, it hit me. Yeah. And I went, I am sorry. Aww. And he was, so he thought it was so cool that I had survived cancer. He'd had a brother that died when he was really young. And he, not only did he, like, he read books like crazy to us. Like, he... So, do you all remember the movie Indian in the Cupboard?
Yes.
Okay. So, the summer before, the year before it came out, we, I think that came, wait, maybe it was Tuesday. So, we read the book in class. And he brought a little cupboard. He brought little Indians. Like, he put you in it. He made you realize it was okay. And I'm telling you, I was a craft reader by the end of that year. I wanted to read. So, he gave me a desire. And he also emphasized math and science. And he was great. Anyways. It was the end of that summer when that movie came out, I think, and everybody in his class, we all got together and he went with us. But my best memory from that age was my birthday's June 10th. So my birthday was always at the end of the school year. So I usually had to like give everybody invitations to my birthday party, like right at the end of school. And I did. And I didn't think anybody was going to come because we were doing like, we were doing a party at my house with like hot dogs and hamburgers and cake, and we were gonna do like games and all this stuff. And my mom was really creative when it came to like scavenger hunts and things like that. And I was so excited because this kid that I didn't have a crush on or anything, but his family they were like big hippies, and they got me, I'm a Gemini, and they got me a necklace that I wore probably till it broke. I slept in it and stuff, that was the Gemini symbol, but it was two little girls, twins, and I was like, this is so cool. I'm so cool. And because I remember I was also into yoga really big at that, you know. And my mom said, oh my God, we have a surprise. I didn't know this, but he had called my mom and he showed up. Try not to cry. And he said, you have to remember that no matter how old you get, your birthdays are so special because God has saved you for every birthday. And my teacher came to my birthday. And I know that sounds gay, but it was great.
No, because he meant so much to you.
Not just to me, everybody. I think my brother even had him. Like, he was...
He cared.
Killer teacher.
Wow.
It changed my life. Try not to cry.
I didn't mean to make you cry.
No, I'm trying to think. I mean, I had a really bizarre childhood. And we went to Disney and we traveled and we did all these things. But... that was the most normal excitement memory I can remember having.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like at that point, all you wanted was some normalcy.
Yes. Because my life was very abnormal.
Yeah.
I have a picture of him hugging all of us at my birthday.
Aww.
He was so animated.
I love that.
Wow, he actually lives in Elizabethan somewhere. My brother being a cop, he like ran into him and.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if he's still alive, but yeah, he was so awesome.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
don't trip over the stone. Sorry.
You're good. Okay, so I have a question. What is something scientifically that fascinates you?
So many things, but right off the top of my head, and I don't know if it's because we talked about it earlier, but it's function of the pineal gland. The pineal gland, they know, is the gland that opens and closes when you are using your gifts. And when, like, I don't mean that like that, but like what lets you see beyond the veil, right? So right now, my brain's going, wait, you need to talk about the seven seals in Revelation, but I'm not going to. But the pineal gland. So there's natural ways it opens. And I think I've talked about it on here before, but one of the natural ways it opens is when we climax or orgasm. And the next natural way it opens is when we pray. And the next natural way it opens for females is when they give birth. Now, the other ways it opens is not natural, okay? And those would be MDMT, which is drugs, LSD, which is acid, okay? These are all drugs. Psilocybin, which is mushrooms, licking the toad.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that's the one that Mike Tyson really got into. And then those are the major ones. There's lower ones.
Is that ashwagandha?
Ashwagandha?
Is it ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
That opens pineal gland?
Well, ayahuasca is it's a different bird. And the reason I say that is when you do ayahuasca, there is someone sitting beside you, did not do it, but is your guide.
Oh, like talking you through it?
They're usually tripping with you, but they're not. So I don't know how that works.
Interesting.
And they're like, you see that door and you're not seeing a door. You're just sitting there and you're using your internal eye, your third eye, whatever. And they're saying, you see the door to your left, take that door, not the right. You know, like, I don't, like, what are we doing here? Are we sharing?
Suggestive and.
Yeah, but how do you know I'm looking at doors?
Yeah.
Right. Because they're not in your head.
So yeah, it's like you talking me through playing VR and you don't really know what I'm looking at.
Wow. Ooh,
that's crazy.
Oh, that's
also
weird.
We are not, what's that called? Pushing drugs.
Like, no,
we're not advocating drug use.
But no, here's the thing. Here's the cool thing.
Punk's not drugs.
Punk's not drugs. I mean, speak for yourself, darling. You asked me what fascinates me. And this is one of the most fascinating thing about this is there's different levels. So like we were talking about wild lettuce, which is a type of salvia. Salvia is a plant that's indigenous to Southwestern America and Mexico. And it's like a shrub. You know, we talked about how they plant it everywhere. And the only way you really can ingest, I mean, you could eat it. I don't know what it would do to you, but you smoke it, or the smoke from it, inhaling that can open your mind. Now, mind you, the salvia, the pure salvia itself, you hallucinate, but it's only, I mean, I think it can last up to a minute, but it can make you convulse. it also stimulates your salivary glands. Yeah. So you drool uncontrollably. Wild lettuce, like I said, it's a little bit more indigenous to Eastern America, Northeastern, all the way to like Florida. It actually grows in most people's yards. Wild lettuce itself, you can dry out and burn or smoke. I don't think I'd smoke that. I just let it burn in like sage. Like in a bundle, but I wouldn't be like, cause you might not come back, but because that can happen. Your pineal gland can get stuck open. I don't know if you know that back in the '70s, it was big cause people would take a hit of acid and leave and never come back.
Oh,
so they're still functioning, but like physically, but they're
depends just on the situation. But anyway, so salvia, wild lettuce, it does open in it a little bit, but not to the level even of, salvia or any of the other drugs I spoke of. But I mean, there's definitely some truth in it. So they used LSD to treat so many different issues. And now you can like, oh, what Ron White, y'all know who Ron White is? They call me Tater Salad, mm-hmm. The comedian. He always had like a glass of scotch in his hand. Mm-hmm. Do you know he's alcohol and drug free? Doesn't even smoke anymore.
Really?
Do you know how? He did ayahuasca. and it cured him.
So now he doesn't do anything.
No, wow. It's fine. The creator of AA came up with the, 12-step program mm-hmm. while doing an acid study at a college in a psychology department.
Really?
He was on acid, yeah. So the limits are, it's limitless. I mean, that makes your brain go, whoa, you know, you wake up to it. As opposed to just walking around blind. You know what I mean? So that's something that fascinates me. There are so many documentaries on what things like that do. Joe Rogan's a big podcaster that really promotes doing things like that. I will be straight up with you guys. I have done MDMT. I've done acid and I've done shrooms. Not for therapeutic reasons. I was wild when I was younger. But I feel like it puts everybody I know that at some point in their life experimented with those drugs, they're open. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're accepting people. Mm-hmm. There's a different vibration of love. And I'm not promoting any of that. It's just you could be like a corporate CEO, very, you know, straight laced. And if you, even when you were young, were into it and you see somebody and they start talking, there's a weird connection. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that's been fascinating my brain as of late.
Mm-hmm. The pineal gland, what do we know about it from a non-spiritual standpoint, like a medical standpoint?
That is from a medical standpoint.
I understand that, but what is the function medically, not spiritually, of the pineal gland? What are the Westerners and the non-woo-woo people say about the pineal gland?
That it connects. The only thing that they see it useful for is when people pray, it opens.
Okay.
I mean, we could Google it and see. I've never done that because everything I look up, I make sure is medically backed.
Yeah.
Like when I research, I go so deep, and pineal gland is so important. The reason they call it the pineal gland, does anybody know that? Oh, that's a good one. So the pineal gland is called that because it looks like a pine cone. Now, if you go back and look at St. Vincent, mm-hmm. the saint, like the Catholic saint, mm-hmm. on his staff is a pine cone. And in most churches, especially Catholic, you'll have pine cones everywhere. Temples, all that, pine cones. And the pine cone is representation. Now, back in the day, they didn't have a way to look inside your noggin, right?
Right.
But they say that that's representation of God giving them this knowledge of the pineal gland that looked like a pine cone.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're such crazy.
Yeah, even in like Egyptian things. What does it say?
It says that the pineal gland is a small pine cone shaped gland located in the center of the brain. Yeah. Its primary function is to produce and secrete the hormone melatonin.
Which makes you go to sleep. You know what's really funny about that? I'm allergic over the counter melatonin. So it also makes you sleep, which is, you know, God's word talks about speaking to people in their dreams.
That's true.
That's very true because it does stuff with the sleep/wake cycle.
Yeah.
So like your cycle of sleeping. Oh, and
wow. So like if your circadian rhythms get out of whack.
That's what I was
saying. I did know this. Sorry. So if your circadian rhythms get out of whack, that's one of the reasons you can hallucinate.
Okay. Does that mean something might be up with your pineal gland?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's so cool.
Especially like if you're going through a spiritual growth and you can't sleep.
Or like whenever you see people in movies that are like in survivor situations and they haven't slept for like a week and they're like all woozy
tuned in.
And they're getting hallucinations and stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh my gosh, this stuff was fascinating.
I didn't know that because my husband and I, we thought it was really interesting that I was allergic. I take over-the-counter melatonin and it keeps me up. It's like crack. Like I won't sleep.
I won't sleep when I take it, but the next day, like after I finally do go to sleep, okay, I'll stay up for hours, but after I finally do, I'm exhausted the next day and it's like, I'm never taking that shit again.
I can't, that's the same, but it's an allergic reaction.
I didn't know that.
Is really interesting because you both have, take melatonin?
Those little sleep gummies that you gave me, I do take those and they just help me go to sleep. I wouldn't say necessarily stay. They have a small effect, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't take anything with melatonin. I mean, I'll be up for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And mad. Oh boy, it makes me mad. But I also can't take Benadryl. I don't know if that matters.
No, but Eric, he doesn't do well with melatonin. It has the opposite effect on him.
So too. Like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he get back freezes?
Instead of like, you know, oh gosh. Okay, hold on. Let me situate myself. So my, like, y'all ever drink a slushy real fast or something cold and you get a brain freeze?
Yes.
So I get those, but I also get a back freeze where your lungs, you know, it's gotten worse since I've had the surgery.
Oh, really?
Where it feels like your whole back part of your lungs are frozen and it's back freeze.
It hurts so bad.
It hurts. So one day I was driving down the road and I had the kids in the car and I was drinking a slushy and I went, darn, I got back freeze. And Stokes goes, oh my God, I get the same thing. And then like a week later, Morgan was in town. I said, we're drinking an icy or ice cream, whatever. And I went, oh, I got back freeze. And Morgan goes, you get back freeze. And I was like, I do. And Jeff Stokes was like, me too. So oh, there's three gosh. People in the world.
That's crazy. I do not get back freezes. No, I don't think he gets back freezes. I know his legs start to act up though.
When he gets a brain freeze?
Sick, but you know, brain freeze things too. I don't know. They just randomly start to like get cold and he feels all woo 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 in there, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, and his legs, not his back, his legs.
It's not like restless leg, it's something else.
No, it's something else. Okay. Like he says like his bones really hurt in there. Aww. But it's like he gets really cold. I don't know.
I'm very sorry. Odd.
But he's also allergic to the cold, so that's a whole other thing. Yeah. Fascinating. I've never heard of a back. Well, I feel like you guys have mentioned a back freeze before, but I've never experienced a back freeze.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah, it sounds pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm. I want to know if other people have weird things like that. Like if when you drink, so a friend of ours, Patty Bath.
Hey, Patty Bath.
Hi, Patty.
But I sent it in our big group message with all the gypsies. Certain people, when they eat too much, their nose runs.
What?
Yeah.
That's
it's a real disorder.
Fascinating.
So Patty, so
oh,
she had
I do
had,
remember that.
Yeah, so she had had gastric bypass and she asked me, when you eat too much and your pouch gets full, because when you have gastric bypass, they cut your stomach and you just have what's called a pouch, right? Mm-hmm. She said, when your pouch gets full, what happens? I was like, I can feel it. She said, oh, you don't like get cold sweats or your nose run? I went, nah. And Denise, who's also had it, said, oh, I get the cold sweats. And I said, so you're telling me if you eat too much, you get cold sweats and your nose runs? They were like, yep. And I was like, what? And then I was looking up something and I found it's actually a disorder. So I typed it into TikTok and
wow,
it's a real thing.
So interesting.
So I want to know. I think things like that are so cool.
Yeah. I'd love to know. So it's not just after gastric bypass. It's like people in general have this.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like her sisters have it too.
Really?
Yeah.
So it could be a genetic thing
yeah.
too. Oh my gosh.
And that's why I thought, okay, Stokes, my son Jasper does not have the back freeze thing, mm-hmm. but Stokes does. And I thought maybe it's a genetic thing. And then, but you know, like genetics, you don't always get all the new genetics. Somebody, you know, like for another really weird genetic thing is everybody on my husband's side of the family that is of the bloodline, his last name is Powers, or Powers bloodline, the right canine tooth, which is the tooth right beside. Is the eye tooth right beside your front teeth, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that tooth. They only are born with one. They're not born with two. So they have to make sure that eye tooth never gets a cavity. They have to preserve it because you only get one. You only get a baby eye tooth.
What?
But my oldest son does not. He has two.
Ooh.
So he was born with an adult one. Now Jasper was only born with a baby one.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. So genetics, what? You know, they can go where they want.
Yeah.
That's but that was crazy. The first male out of the Powers bloodline that was not born with just one eye tooth.
You want to know something I find really cool and fascinating?
What?
That you're born with all the eggs you're going to have. So technically, like, you were in your grandmother before you were born. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Which I know that follows some generational stuff that we talk
generational
about.
Generational inheritance,
I think that's so cool.
It's really interesting.
Wow. Yeah. That is fascinating. I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually how you get genes. So, like, for instance, you'll notice that you might have more genetic genes from your mother than your father's mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I always found it how fascinating siblings can be so different. Like, not only, like, look so different, but how their traits can just be, like, complete opposites, like, either from one side or the other.
Like... My thing is how they can be personality. Visual, people are like, that doesn't.
Right.
But person, like, For instance, if Morgan called me and said, I need help, I'd be like, can I do? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I would say if she called another one of my sisters said, I need help, they'd be like, well, let me give you Tessa's number. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we grew up in the same house.
And you go about things just so differently.
So differently.
It's crazy to me.
That is interesting to me, too.
Yeah. Like, you grow up in the same house. You have the same parents. You're exposed to the same things.
Yes.
But you react to situations completely differently.
Totally different.
And your personalities are, like,
yep,
polar opposites. I'm like, how does that? Yeah. I don't know. My brain just
goes.
That
just proves that your experiences don't make you. They may influence you, but they do not make you.
No, absolutely. And I do believe that too. I think it's interesting to study siblings though. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy, this is totally off topic, I'm sure, but I really enjoy studying children at a young age. Like, and I don't mean like weirdly, but I mean like watching them, because you can see very dominant traits as early as three.
Really?
That they will continue till. So, for instance, my son, when he was little, when he would eat, I would feed him and he would get it everywhere. So I would scrape it off his lips. To this day, if you watch Stokes eat, he'll eat and then he'll scrape it off his face.
Hmm. Oh,
that's cute.
So that's something he got when he was just a little,
yeah,
little boy, and
yeah,
he's had it all throughout. He's like, oh my gosh, that's
a really cool one. Is my brother, when he is eating something, like if he's had a hard day and he comes home and he eats something that he loves, he'll go, The reason is my mom would go, every bite.
I've seen your mom do that.
Yeah.
So it's really like imprinting.
Yes.
Like they say, like baby ducks, like the mom,
yeah,
ducks imprints on them. It's literally like we're imprinting on our.
Yeah. So to me, the human brain, like Morgan said, like I could spend days and hours talking about that.
Yeah.
Because we do so much, like, and really, really interesting thing, especially people that are not in the same house. Like my dad's real dad was a mailman. That's important because he was raised by a man that was, he's actually a math professor at the University of Texas, the University of Tennessee, University of North Carolina. He was a really well, ETSU, he was a really well-known math professor. When he retired, he went to work with inmates and teach them math to help them get diplomas. Oh, wow. And his name was Stokes Hughes, if you now know where my son gets his name. Mm-hmm. So, but he was also a state representative for North Carolina, and he was a Democrat. That's where I get my Democrat blood from. But even though we weren't related, but we were, it's a long story. I don't want to talk about it. Okay, so my dad's birth father was a mailman, but before he was a mailman, he was a U.S. Marine, okay? When my dad turned 21, he said, I don't care what you say, Mom, I'm going to become a Marine. It was installed so deep in him. Mm. And nobody knew why. I mean, my grandmother did. Mm-hmm. But nobody knew. And that's when my father found out who his true father was.
Wow.
Because of that. So not, I think genetic and things like that and your brain and how it's wired early on is so interesting. And my brother would have been a Marine in a heartbeat, but my father had passed away right before my brother graduated college, and my mom said absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So my brother definitely gave up one of his big dreams because my mom said no. But my son, at least Stokes, wanted to be. I don't think he does now because he doesn't agree with politics like he did when he was younger, but he definitely talked about being a Marine. And I don't think it's out of the question. And if that's what he wants to do, it's what he wants to do. But I definitely wanted to go in as an officer as opposed to a grunt. So, yeah. Well, I just think it's really cool. So I hope you guys enjoyed the random crazy picks and topics. But I would really like to know what you all would like me to get started, because you just give me a little bit and I can run.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Because my brain works a little different, I think, sometimes. That's what I'm told. I think it's pretty normal. But please reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram at Some Sam Gifted. You can find me personally on Facebook at Tess Ray McKittrick. And we're also on Twitter or X, sorry, at Some Sam Gifted. And I'm not monitored there. As well as email us at somesamgifted@gmail.com and any listening platform there may be out there. center platform. Sorry. Yes. Just say hi. And what is it, Morgan? You want a shout out?
Yes. Please engage with us on those platforms. We have specific posts that we say if you comment on, we will give you a shout out. And that's where we just say your name. We say that we love you and we're supporting you and we want to hear more from you. Woohoo.
Yes, and thank you guys. We love you all. Let us know what you think and let us know some Krazza topics you'd like to hear.
Yes. See you next Thursday. Love you.
Love you guys.
Bye.